3 on the Jim Davis Show. It's a B-Team Hour. Buckeye and Baked Goods. Tyler.
Morning.
Is in the sidecar for this last hour. Completely lost my train of thought. The boss came in to get his backpack, and I completely was derailed. Get your wines in today. It's a Wine About It Wednesday. Pretty happy pile, I guess.
Sure.
This morning, I haven't had a ton of wines on the Chick-fil-A text line. We will get to one here in a little bit from big-time P1 Geyer Jim. Also, speaking of Geyers, Briar Geyer, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
He has who he's cheering for in the upcoming Junior College World Series. The 10 teams are in. The bracket is shaped as right now. Also, we'll go over that. Also, you know, their time changes. We'll reiterate those coming up here. We'll talk with Delgado Dolphins head coach Joe Sherman coming up. They bright and early right out of the gate against Weatherford, Texas, coming up Saturday morning. We'll talk with the head man of the Dolphins. I was looking up some information for that. I'm like, yeah, they were here just a couple of 2016. It's been 7 years since the Dolphins were here last. It doesn't feel like it, but hey, last time they were here, got their first ever tournament win, and we'll talk with Joe Sherman about that long time head coach of the Delgado Dolphins. We just had DG Nelson, Salt Lake Community College head coach. He's been here as an assistant before and with other schools, most notably Dixie State. But Salt Lake Community College getting here for the first time ever with the little brother of a CMU Maverick, Braden Wingett, Preston Wingett, on that squad. They'll take on Wabash Valley, Illinois, who they were here last year. A lot of those guys from that team moving on, matriculating on somewhere else.
Right.
As is the coach, Rob Fournier, the Hall of Famer, now at Directional Kentucky with Mark Reardon at the D1 level. And now you have Aaron Biddle with Wabash Valley bringing all those guys back. Another Wabash Valley Warrior that was here last year is now a Central Florida Patriot, Brad Keylory. They are the number one seed. See how it all ties together?
It's all connected.
At some point, it all ties together. We're still trying to track down Eric Horner for Johnson County Community College. Hopefully have him tomorrow or Friday. We haven't got him yet. They play Saturday at 3 against kind of the legacy program, if you will, Shelton State, Alabama, and Bobby Sproul. And we still got to track down Dusty Hart. We had him on before they qualified. We need to track him down after they qualified. And, you know, we have Sean Doty from Gaston, North Carolina. We had him on the other day, I believe. So they're playing the Sunday morning game. So your bracket as it stands looks like this. You have the first game of the day coming up on Saturday is the 4-seed Weatherford against the 7-seed Delgado, Louisiana. Then at noon, it's the number 1-seed Central Florida against the 10-seed Andrew, Georgia. 3 o'clock, Johnson County Community College from Kansas is the 2-seed, taking on Shelton State, the 9-seed. Nightcap will be 3-seed Wabash Valley taking on 8-seed Salt Lake Community College. And then Sunday morning, you have Blinn, Texas, the 5-seed against Gaston, the 6-seed. That is a 10 a.m. start. And Sunday, 10, 2, and 7, that's pretty standard. They've moved all the night games up to 7 o'clock except for the first Saturday. One, it keeps them all uniform at the same time, but they've moved the fireworks game, the Monday night game, to 6 because the people around the park, not fans of the fireworks going off late into the night. And I can understand that to a certain extent.
Can't really blame them too much on that
one. So 6 o'clock, first pitch there. Hopefully there's no run rule, and they light off the fireworks at like 7:45 because it's still daylight at that point. The sun's still up. So hopefully there's a nice, good, clean 5-3, 9-inning game, right?
Yeah.
So you can get through it. Monday also a different with game 8 is at 9 in the morning, Monday morning. Game 9 is at 1 o'clock, and then the rest are 10, 2, and 7 on Tuesday, 2 and 7 Wednesday, Thursday, and then 7 o'clock Friday, 7 o'clock Saturday if we need to go that route. So there you go. There's your little JUCO bracket update. Who are you cheering for, Pio? Who you got in the tournament? If you've been digging in to some of the numbers like we have, You can get us in at the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, 970-242-1340, or call the Chick-fil-A Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll be out at Chick-fil-A having breakfast next week on Thursday the 1st. That's our last four coaches show. We'll be out there for all 3 hours. Also coming up next week, we're going to do a kind of a JUCO rewind, look back, featurette, vignette, whatever. We don't have a name for it, obviously, but it'll be the 7 o'clock hour of the show, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yes.
So that'll be your baby.
That will be my pet project.
Your pet project. Don't kill the pet. It's not like a Tamagotchi, which you could just reset or whatever. It's an actual live pet. Don't kill the pet.
You sound as if you have no faith in me to keep this alive.
I don't know what you're talking about with that. I feel targeted. No, I'm just kidding. I have full faith and confidence that you will be able to get the plane off the ground.
Okay, good. That makes one of us.
And then, you know, you just turn on the autopilot and Jim or I will come in and we'll land the plane.
There you go.
So teamwork. It's a team effort.
It makes the dream work.
Yes. We go to the Chick-fil-A text line, 970-242-1340. Jim, good morning, gents. My neighbors have chickens and they're constantly over in my yard pecking and scratching, doing what chickens do, and have now created several bare spots in my front yard. And to top of it, their rooster has no idea what time of day it is. He's always popping off. Aren't they supposed to just go off during sunrise? You'd think that. There's a rooster in our neighborhood that crows. And I don't know how. We live in Clifton, kind of in a place where there's not really supposed to be chickens. Supposed to is a heavy word. There's not a reputation for chickens. And there's one that crows at noon. At 4:30 in the afternoon, his biological clock is off, because he will cockle doodle do at like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Eek!
So, and one of our neighbors, I don't know who it is, got a new small dog that is outside a bit and barks
all the time,
like continuously. Eek. There's another dog in the neighborhood that just barks continuously. Most of the time, it's not a problem because I'm in our living room, which is on the west side of the house, which is fine. Go to the east wing, where the bedroom's at, to go to bed at a relatively earlier hour than most people.
Right.
And the dog is outside, and it's a little dog, too, so it's got that annoying
kind of a yip.
Yip, yeah. That's not a lot of fun. But, yeah, I get it, and... You know, Jim, if there's such a problem with the rooster or the chickens in your yard, it sounds like maybe you're going to have some fried chicken for dinner. You know, just saying. Like, you know, keep your chickens in your own yard, or your chicken's going to be in my belly. You know what I mean? If you're going to ruin my grass, I'm going to eat your chicken. Simple enough. We're also asking who you're cheering for in the Junior College World Series. Bry Guy. But with my airman son stationed in North Carolina, I'll be rooting for Gaston this year. Go Rhinos. Our first ever Rhinos. That's great.
I keep wanting to call him Gaston. Mm-hmm. Like from Beauty and the Beast. I'll have to get used to saying Gaston.
Yeah, it's Gaston. So Gaston, you got to don't throw the French on there.
No.
Just got to keep that. Keep that in mind. From Steve on the text line, my last kid graduated CMU. Double exclamation marks. Congratulations. Governor Polis was keynote. I don't agree with everything he's done, but I did enjoy his speech because it was short. It was embarrassing that some in the crowd thought it was an appropriate time to hurl insults. Well,
yeah, that'll happen.
You can never, there are people that can never put politics aside to celebrate anybody else that deserves celebrating. And
those people are wrong.
And those people are probably at the CMU graduation that Steve was at. That's neither here nor there. But you know what? I don't care who's giving the speech. If I'm outside, I'm probably not going to like it.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to be longer than I want it to go. And it has nothing to do with the content. It could be the most motivating speech ever, but right. I am not a fan of being outside that much, so I'd be like, come on. Let's pick up the pace, pal. Yeah, sing it like a metal song. Just get through it. do Motorhead, the Ramones.
Right.
2.5 minutes. Let's get out of here. There's not much new you can say.
Just give me 5 good minutes.
Not even that.
Not even that?
Give me 3.5. Give me a good Kiss song.
The length of a song.
3.5 minutes. I don't need an Agata DeVita. Ooh. I don't need 17 minutes. You know, I don't need
Shine on, you crazy diamond.
I don't need a Rush song. Just showing off all that you know with the big words. You know what? Just come out there with a crowd pleaser. Kiss, makeup, fire, some explosions, and call it good. You know what I mean?
Platform boots and
a flaming sword. Wow the crowd and get out of there in 5 minutes. Like you said, good 5 minutes. That includes all the antics before said speech, like spitting fire, spitting blood, that sort of thing. You know, if Gene Simmons was your commencement speaker.
He probably has given a commencement speech at some point.
Probably. Not sure how we got here, but alas, here we are. Yeah, that's pretty much it we have on the text line. We'll give away another pair of JUCO World Series tickets coming up here in a little bit. Still don't know who the Denver Nuggets are going to face in the NBA Finals as the Celtics stave off elimination. The only time you ever use that word, stave off elimination, is in the playoffs. And they beat the Heat 116-99 last night in Miami. Jason Tatum was pretty good, 33-11, 7 assists in 42 minutes, 14-22 from the floor. Jaylen Brown, I don't think, knows how to play basketball. And Marcus Smart. He was not great. Only 11 points last night. He was packing the car, Marcus Smart. And, yeah, he wasn't very good. Playoff Jimmy was trying to shoot out of whatever funk he was in for the day. 9 of 21. He's 29-9-5 for the Heat's biggest Nickelback fan. And they really didn't get much from anybody else. I mean, Gabe Vincent had 17, and Caleb Martin had 16 off the bench. But that's about it. They really didn't get anything from anybody else. And they lost Game 4, 116-99. Game 5 is coming up tomorrow night back in Boston. The Heat try to close it out. If they do so, Game 1 of the NBA Finals will be in Denver coming up on June the 1st. As it stands right now, 6:30-ish, so probably 6:45 tip-off.
6:50.
Yeah, 6:45, 6:50, somewhere around there. But, hey, it's a reasonable time still,
yeah,
which is not bad. And I think most tip-offs are going to be right around that 6:45 area. Sunday, Game 2 on the 4th is going to be a little earlier from everything I've seen. Game 1 will be on our sister station, 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM, because we will have a little thing called the Junior College World Series. That will be a semifinal game, air quote, on Thursday night. Game 17 will be there. But Sunday, Game 2 back on the Team Sports Network. Also coming up this Friday, speaking of playoffs, it is the Super Regional. The CMU Mavericks are going to be on the road taking on the Angelo State Rams, team they know very well at this part of the season. Game 1 Friday night right here on the Team Sports Network with a 5:30 first pitch, 5:15 pregame right here on the team. Saturday, 2 o'clock for the first game on 1100 KNZZ, 145 pregame start there. And then the next game will follow. I'm not sure if it's a set time or if it's a 30 minutes after deal. But either way, if there is a third game, it will be on 1100 KNZZ as well. Rockies beat the Marlins last night, so it's good. Denver starting to own Miami right in time for the finals, if that's who they end up facing. You got Austin Gomber. He was all right. 5 2/3, 3 runs, 4 hits, couple strikeouts. Bullpen was fantastic again. 1 earned run over the last 3 1/3.
Hey,
Rockies unbeaten when leading after 7. They're 19-0. Only team in Major League Baseball unbeaten when leading after 7. So,
okay, you know
don't,
what?
Hey, how about that, me? If you're not going to give credit where credit is due.
I will give credit where credit's due, but I'm also one of the most cynical Rockies fans that I know of.
Yes, you are.
And
you're a man that was born at 64 years old.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So I know how it feels. Because there are times, there have been times in past seasons where they have led after seven and still lost the game.
Yeah, and it's early yet. It's still only May, but, you know, with a 68-win season in the offing, probably want to take wins where you can get them. But, hey, probably. The Rockies are 21-28. They're last in the National League West. They are a half game worse than my Cleveland Guardians, 21-27. Rockies are 9.5 back of the Dodgers. Guards are 3.5 back of the Twins because the Central is dog poo.
Not very good.
The worst part about it is they are a game back of Miguel Cabrera and the Detroit Tigers. The worst part ever.
Well, then.
Because that team's supposed to just absolutely suck out loud. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and yet.
And yet, they're not. They're four games under 500, but they're still in second place in the division. I did, on purpose, the other day, tune in to a Royals-A's game for, like, three innings.
Was it in?
It was in Oakland. That's how much of a problem I have about baseball, is I'll watch the A's and Royals.
You're probably,
for, like, two innings.
You've probably now, just then, watched more A's baseball than an A's fan.
I was probably the most locked-in person on that game that's not related to a player in that game.
Right.
It was a pretty decent game, too. Like, the A's are bad and the Royals are bad, so it makes for kind of sneaky good. Well, sneaky competitive.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily good baseball. It's a little bit of a snowball fight here and then, but sneaky competitive. Coming up in just a little bit, like I mentioned, we'll have the head coach of the Delgado Dolphins, Joe Sherman, will give us a chat about his squad making it back to the Junior College World Series. I believe it's for the sixth time in school history. They were last here in 2016. Don't want to blow out all of the prep on Delgado, so we'll save some of that for a little bit. But it is the seventh time in school history that they will be heading into town. Dolphins currently ranked number 11 right now in the nation. Your South Central District and Region 23 champions. You can get your wines in. A bottle of Talon wine is up for grabs if you have a good one at the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340, or the text line, same number, 970-242-1340. We'll go ahead and take a break. On the other side, talk a little Junior College World Series with the head coach of the Delgado Dolphins, Joe Sherman. That's next. This is the Jim Davis Show, B-Team Hour on a Wednesday on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on The Team.
And making their seventh trip to the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, it is the Delgado Dolphins and their head coach, Joe Sherman, joins us. Good morning, Joe. How are things in New Orleans this morning?
Well, actually, we're on Canyon View Field right now, so we're doing great. So what we did is we drove across the state of Kansas and the state of Colorado yesterday and the day before and came in a day early. So
look at that.
So we're trying to get acclimated and get our kids on the feet on the ground, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, we'll talk about your team itself coming up here in just a couple minutes. You needed extras to get by a legacy program in Seminole State College. You also beat Crowder. Crowder usually kind of now the host of the South Central District. It's either you guys or Crowder. You finally got back through, first time since 2016. Talk about your weekend, your South Central District Championship there against Crowder and having to take down Seminole State twice in 2 days.
Yeah, well, you know, our district for us is a tough go, Jim, because what we have to do is we have to either go to the Oklahoma or the Missouri champion every year. We only got to host it. I've been in this contract with those two regions for, I guess, 14 years, and we've got to host it one time in those – two times in those 14 years. So life on the road in the junior college world is not very easy, as you know. So when you win on the road in hostile company, it's an accomplishment. And I tip my cap to our kids. We're involved in some one-run games in our regional and some one-run games in our central district, south district, and you know, our kids have played well.
Turner Toms was the man Sunday. 8 innings of one-run ball to keep giving your bats chances against Seminole. You finally come through with Brock Slayton. He was 1-for-8 in the district tournament at that point. He comes through with a game-winning base knock. Talk about those couple guys coming through in a big moment for you, Turner Toms and Brock Slayton.
Yeah, well, you know, Turner's been kind of our guy that we've used situationally left-handed against left-handed pretty much all year long. We haven't really used him as a starter, but maybe – I guess 3 or 4 times. So he came up big, like you said, and gave us eight great innings. You know, we were in the driver's seat game there where we had to get beat twice. So we felt like we could give Turner a start. We felt left against left would match pretty good with Seminole. So we were going to start. In fact, the left-hander that closed the game out was going to be the starter of game two if we needed it to be. So we just stuck with our plan, and Turner came up big, and then. Brock Slayton's a Tulane University signee, a nice player, and a kid that has had some success all year long. But in these type of things, sometimes kids try to speed the game up a little bit. And, you know, he was, like you said, he was 1-for-8, but he got a big hit to put us on top. And then Alexander, the kid that hit the go-ahead double, the walk-off double, rather, to win the game for us, has been our guy pretty much all year long. He's been real good, our right fielder, Josh Alexander. So, he came up big to get the game-winning hit, and here we are.
You mentioned Josh Alexander. As we're talking with Joe Sherman, head coach of the Delgado Dolphins. He had a two-hit day for you the first time around against Seminole. Jonathan Ferrybus as well had a two-hit day, Logan O'Neill. You guys seem to have a lot of balance both offensively and with your pitching to where you're not relying on one guy every day.
Yeah, that's a very, very good observation, because we are pretty, you know, I don't like to use the word depth. I think it's an overused word, but we're pretty balanced in both on the mound and offensively. You know, our number one's not much different than our number seven on the bump, and our leadoff hitter isn't much different than a 9-0 guy in our lineup. So we've had great balance all through the year. One thing that we've been very blessed with is we've stayed away from the injury bug, knock on wood. And our lineup hasn't changed pretty much from day one. You know, we've played the same 10, 11 guys all year long. So our kids kind of have settled in and understand their roles. And, you know, we've been pretty good the last month of the year.
Looking at some of your stats, you have Chris Olivier. He looks like your ace type guy. I didn't see any numbers from the district tournament. I haven't seen him throw, according to your stats, since May 6th. What's his status for the World Series?
No, so Olivier threw the second game. He beat Crowder. He was the winning pitcher against Crowder. It's Olivier and Lohr. You know the old saying, Sane and Rain? Sane in Spain, back when the Braves were real good. those are our 1-2 guys. I mean, we throw those two guys every weekend that we play, and they throw every conference weekend that we play. And, you know, again, our kids rally around those two arms, and you know, that will be the same plan here. I don't know if Olivia will throw game one or Laura will throw game one, but we'll look up at matchups and decide what we're going to do here in the next couple days.
11th ranked Delgado Dolphins at the Junior College World Series for the 7th time. Head coach Joe Sherman joining us on the Jim Davis Show. 45-11 on the season. You started off with a loss to Meridian. They were a former GJ mainstay, but then. Over the course of 2 days, you took down San Jack, Chat Valley, and Chipola. That's quite a start to the season, kind of getting some JUCO Grand Junction level competition to start your season, kind of let guys get a taste of what it might be like getting here.
No doubt. Gulf Coast puts on a beautiful tournament beginning of the year, and we've been privileged to play in it the last 2 years. And, you know, I told the kids on the bus headed there in February, you're going to get a taste of how good or how bad you are. And, you know, the Meridian game is a game in itself where it proves to my theory that coaches lose games, players win them. You know, we had a 5-run lead, and I took Lohr out, our starting pitcher, because we were on pitch count way back in February. So took him out and put in a little freshman with a 5-run lead, and he got indoctrinated to junior college baseball real quick. And long story short of it, we ended up losing a 1-run game to those guys in the first game of the year. But My kids came back, bounced back the next 3 days, and played great ball against some very traditionally powered programs. And I think it gave them a little mojo for the rest of the year, to be quite honest with you.
It kind of gave them an idea of what type of talent and caliber opponents you'll see here. First time here in 7 years. You haven't been here since 2016. At first, it doesn't really seem like it's been that long, but there's a little pandemic type thing there in the middle that screwed everything up for everybody, all sense of time and space. But the last time you were here, you got that elusive first win. What's it like knowing that you land here and you still don't have that goose egg, at least when it comes to tournament wins on the ledger there?
Well, you know, that's, I think that's important for the coach, because the coach is the only one that's ever been here through that stay. But, you know, a lot of things happen. I mean, quite honest with you, I'm not making excuses. But we're always the last district to qualify, so you're wearing your pitch into the bone to get here, and then man, you're right back in the fire when you get here. So a lot of times you don't come in here with your guns a-blazing. You know what I'm saying? So. This year, I even took a different approach. I said, we're not going back home and practice for 2 days back home. We're going over to Grand Junction and practice and let our kids get our legs underneath them over here. So we took a little different route. I think that might help us a little bit. We seem to be a little fresher than we've been in the past when we've gotten up here. And, you know, like I said, it's all different kids, all different personalities. But a lot of it has to do with the prep to get here. And a lot of it has to do with coach planning, and I'll take responsibility for us not playing very well in my tenure here, because to be quite honest with you, I wasn't smart enough to know what you had to do to get here and get your kids ready. So this year we took a little different approach, and we'll see if it works.
You open up with Weatherford, Texas in that early morning Saturday game at 9 o'clock. Weatherford coming in fourth-ranked team in the country. They hit 317 as a team. They had to get through a crucible of their own to get here. That Region 5. Region 5, the Southwest District out of Texas. Do you spend a lot of time focused on the Coyotes, or are you more along the lines of you do your game and you guys should be okay?
Yeah, I think you got to worry about your club. I mean, you know, you do your homework and you do your due diligence and try to get as much information as you can. And you know, we've done that the last two or three days to try to get a little information on all the clubs. And then when you find out it's Weatherford yesterday on the bus driving over here, you pick up the phone and you make a couple more calls. But, you know, I don't want to sound redundant here, but we got to do what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? We can't really worry about our opponent. I preach to my kids since I've been coaching, and it's 34 years since I started, that you know you got to worry about what you do. You can worry about control the things you can control, and you know, how Weatherford plays and how they pitch and how they hit, we really can't control, but we can control how we catch ground balls and how we pitch and how we can hit. So That's what we're more focused on.
Delgado Dolphins head coach Joe Sherman joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Coach, we'll get you out of here on this. You said you've learned some things being here so many times. This is your fifth trip here to town as a head coach of the Dolphins. What's something you've learned that is a must-do for your team, and something you've learned that you've done in the past that you know not to do anymore?
Yeah, well, you know, like, there's a lot of distractions out here. You know, I mean, that's all part of it. You know, there's picture day, and there's the banquet, and then there's the clinics and the Strive picnics, and it's all stuff that we need to be involved in, and the kids need to understand why we're involved in. And then there's baseball. So you need to take care of your baseball side of it. You need to take care of the distraction side of it. But the biggest thing that I've learned is you got to make sure your kids are acclimated to being out here. You know, we're pounding water in them for about 5 days now, and we're trying to get them used. You know, Jim, we're 6 feet below sea level in New Orleans, and now I passed a sign when we came through the tunnel the other day, 15,000 feet above sea level. So it's quite an adjustment for a flatlander Southern boys to make physically, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take care of the science side of it more than anything this time around.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to BP. Hear it in the background. We'll see you out at the fields this week, and we'll see you out at the Saplesio Field Saturday morning, game number one.
Well, thanks for everything you guys do to make this the greatest tournament in the country. And believe me, this is the mecca of junior college baseball. We couldn't be more pleased to be here.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Joe Sherman, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. I knew I was going to do that. The Delgado Dolphins with us on the Jim Davis Show. And just, he's such a good dude. Just such a good dude.
I could listen to him, like, read the dictionary.
Yeah.
With that kind of Creole voice of his.
It's fantastic. And got so many consonants or so many vowels in the first five letters of his name. And it just turns out to be Sherman. Delgado head coach Joe Sherman. Of course, I communicate a lot with his son Tyler, who's a sports information guy. He's their Dave Yonke. I emailed him something yesterday. 5 minutes later, bang, I had it. All the information I needed was absolutely fantastic.
On top of it.
Can't ask for anything more. And that's something that junior college baseball has come light years from when. I'm do my old man real quick. That when I started, you had to like actually call and talk to people.
Uh-huh.
And you had to have them fax you information. So you had to hope that A, they had it updated. B, they had their own fax machine. And C, yours was working. And now it's just an email and an attachment. And it's done.
It's I'm an old man. Yeah. I hate everything but Matlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably on now, actually, come to think of it. It's funny because I think of that all the time. I think of that clip. It's never Matlock, but it kind of is Matlock.
A little bit.
It's the Andy Griffith Show.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because my mother-in-law has that on the TV quite a bit because she loves that channel.
Oh, the MeTV?
Yeah. Andy Griffith, Green Acres, the A-Team, MASH. All those old TV shows, and every time Andy Griffith comes on, I just laugh because I think of Matlock. My dad loved Matlock. I'm an old man. I hate everything but Matlock. Ooh, it's on now. So there you go. That is one of the best things. But that is Joe Sherman, head coach of the Delgado Dolphins here. I mistakenly said seventh time, like four or five different times there. It's only the sixth trip. For Delgado. It's very hard counting while you're listening and thinking and
right.
also talking at the same time. It's very strange.
There's a lot of system memory that's been backed up there.
Yeah. Yeah. The old RAM in the head here is just not working particularly well. Before we hit a break, we have to get to this day in sports history, which...
I got it over here if you want
still,
me to play it.
Yeah, go ahead. I still don't have
it. That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
I think really what we learned here.
You suck at this.
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm not particularly good at this whole thing. This day, May the 24th, 1935, Reds beat the Phillies in Major League Baseball's first night game. I'm surprised. Doesn't include... the former Indians. It's this day in 1981 that Bobby Unser wins a controversial Indianapolis 500 because, according to Mario Andretti, he got the win because Unser broke a rule during a slowdown period near the end of the race. The decision was later reversed. Unser gets the win, but is fined $40,000.
Oof.
This day in 1990, the Edmonton Oilers win their fifth Stanley Cup in seven seasons. And is this day in 1992, Al Unser Jr., Bobby's nephew, wins closest finish at Indianapolis 500 with Lynn St. James finishing 11th. She was the second woman to ever race. He beat Scott Goodyear by 43,000ths of a second. And is this day in 2009, Helio Castroneves becomes the ninth driver to win the Indianapolis 500 three times. And that's it for this day in sports history. We'll take a break, be back with more. Get your wines in on a Wine About It Wednesday. Chance to get a bottle of Talon wine. For the best one, Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, the text line 970-242-1340. Who are you pulling for in the Junior College World Series? Have any of the chats with the head coaches since they qualified swayed your decision? Is there a guy you're like, you know what? That's my guy. After hearing him here on the Jim Davis Show or at all. Maybe you've had a good interaction with the coach that is now finally coming back. Maybe it's Bobby Sproul, Dusty Hart with Blinn here with Grayson a ton of times, Joe Sherman with Delgado. Maybe it's Eric Horner, Johnson County Community College here 9 years ago, I believe, for the Cavaliers. Or maybe it's a first-timer. Maybe you actually had an interaction with Delgado since they're already here out at Canyon View Park.
Hopefully it was a good interaction.
A little BP. Hopefully it was a good interaction.
Because, you know, there's all that construction
yeah.
near Canyon View Park. So hopefully the bus didn't make that little roundabout there any more difficult right. than it already has been.
Although if you come in at the right crossroad, the roundabout is more of a straight through. You know, you don't really have to go right to go left. If you're coming down 24 road from the interstate, you just go right through it. It's a piece of cake. We'll take a break. Come back with more Jim Davis Show. It's a B-Team edition, a B-Team hour of the Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Baked Goods here. Till the top of the hour, it's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
What 45 did you break out here?
It's a newer song. It's just I got a different. It has a breakdown here in a second.
Oh, okay.
I'm
gonna have one as well. Oh, there it is.
It's Foster the People.
Oh. Pumped Up Kicks?
Not Pumped Up Kicks.
Oh, they have two songs?
They've actually got some more than just Pumped Up Kicks.
Oh, what a tool I am. Anyway, welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. 9:42. It's a little bit of a B-Team edition. A little bit of a harem scarum final hour here. It's Buckeye. It's Baked Goods. We're hanging out here. Jim had a JUCO committee meeting to run off to.
Which, and how long has Jim been on the JUCO committee or been in some capacity?
A while.
They know that he has a show
yeah,
until 10,
but,
right?
You know, it's one of those things, and I'll defend the committee here because I choose not to defend Jim. You can't change the meeting that 40-some-odd people can make work for one person.
Fair enough.
No matter who it is.
Fair enough.
Whether it's Colt or Jim or our cohort here, Tom, who's also on the JUCO committee, you can't change it for just one person. They got to make it work around the committee schedule.
Fair enough.
Yes.
I just, you know.
And also, I think when he joined on the committee, this show wasn't on at 9 a.m.
Okay, that's
awesome. I think it was still a noon to 1 afternoon, 1 hour program. So there might be that.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
By the way, we're not quite into garbage time yet, so we will not count this as garbage time. But did you see there is a front range team making a push in the playoffs?
For?
Lacrosse.
Oh, it's DU.
DU women.
Women's lacrosse, yeah.
Go get some pios. They beat defending champ UNC in the Elite Eight last week. The Nuggets are into the finals. The Mammoth are into the finals again for the second straight year, if I read correctly. If not, it's all right.
No, that is correct.
The Pioneers beat the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill 5-4. Now they're in the Final Four as the nation's last undefeated team. They take on Northwestern Friday in Cary, North Carolina, which in a week you hope the CMU Mavs are playing at.
Hopefully.
For the D2 World Series. But you have DU in the Final Four taking on Northwestern. That's going to be kind of awesome. You can probably find that ESPNU, and then the championship game is on Sunday. And you see Syracuse and BC are also in the Final Four. So a little women's lacrosse on tap for the weekend for DU fans and alums. But wait, go Pios.
Hold on. Did you say UC Syracuse?
No, I said Syracuse. I said U, Y-O-U, C-S-E-E,
oh.
Period.
Okay.
enter tab Syracuse.
Okay. I thought you said UC is in like UC Santa Barbara or no. UC Santa Cruz, which is what I thought you meant, but
I meant to say you'll also see.
Got it.
And I left out the middle there. Because I am not particularly good at the language.
What the hell did you just say?
So, and also good. English, do you speak it? I have that somewhere around here too, but I can't really find it right at the moment because I'm supposed to be doing the jibber jabbering thing. So, the Pios into the women's lacrosse final four. Get your texts in. We got the last few minutes here. Right now, speaking of texts.
Yes.
Get your texts and fingers out. 970-242-1340. A pair of single day tickets to the Junior College World Series.
Yeah, so two single day tickets to the JUCO World Series. Good for any day starting Saturday, May 27th through Friday, June 2nd at Splesio. Must be picked up by Thursday, June 1st at 5 p.m. because our offices are closed on Fridays, and we're also closed on Memorial Day Monday.
Yes, so you have today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week to pick up these tickets.
Which, to be fair, is...
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time, and you've got the tournament. You're not going to pick these up after the tournament's already ended.
Right,
so.
And they're honest-to-God in-your-hands tickets, too. Let's stop that so Tyler doesn't get confused again. Fifth texter on the text line, 970-242-1340, texter number 5, gets the pair of JUCO tickets. Just put JUCO on your text. And now, this is where we have to remind people. If you send in 11 texts, you've sent in one text.
Yes. It only counts as one.
We are taking the fifth different person, the fifth texter, not the fifth text. So you can go, I sent in 5 texts. Well, that's great. You sent in one text, and you weren't number 5. Just a reminder, so everybody's clear. It's nice to brush up on the rules every now and then, so we don't have the, I sent a text in 11 billion times, and I didn't win. How is that possible? Well, you sent in one text, and clogged up the system, and it crashed, and no one gets anything, because this is why we can't have nice things. Not that we've had anybody do that here in probably 4 or 5 years, which is great. Piles starting to, you know, adapt to the rules here. But yes, fifth texter on the Chick-fil-A text line, 970-242-1340, gets the pair of single day tickets. Now, you can go many different ways with single day tickets. You can get most bang for your buck, which is 0 because these are free.
Right.
You can go first day, get all 4 games, done. Right. You can go Sunday, get a couple of last gasp elimination games and a debut for Blinn and Gaston. You can do Monday, get in for the fireworks Monday night. Right. Early start, 9 a.m. You only get 3 games, but you're in for the fireworks game. You can do that. You can take a day off work for Tuesday. You use your tickets then. Get the doubleheader Wednesday. Maybe the 2 quote-unquote semifinals on Thursday. Or you can save it for the championship game. Have a ticket to get into the championship game. So there's many different ways you can go about this. And if you win, maybe text back what you plan to. What's your game plan? What's your single-day ticket, pair of tickets, game plan?
So we actually...
970-242-1340.
We do have a winner, actually. So.
Oh, who is it? That's tomorrow, by the way.
I see what you did there. The winner... Well, I'm trying to find the winner opener thingy.
Oh, I got that over here. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Maybe.
There we are.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
You suck at this.
Big Rob getting the tickets
today.
Hey,
look at that. Big Rob.
So congrats, Big Rob. You've got before June 1st to pick them up again. So you've basically got today, tomorrow, and then the... Tuesday through Thursday of next week to pick these up.
I like Birdman with the Jedi mind trick. I am Texter 5.
Which is, you know, good use of manifestation, but we asked you to text in the word JUCO, so, you know, it doesn't really... You gotta play by our rules here, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and looky here. You may not know who this is because you haven't been here very long.
I don't know who this is.
Pete the Viking Boy's in town. Old Peter G. He used to do stuff with us years and years and years ago.
Wow.
How many years ago was that? Because like I was talking to Joe Sherman, I've lost all sense of time and space. How long have you been here?
So my
this is five, right?
Six.
Six.
Actually, no, because August of 17 was my first year here.
So yeah, this will be six.
So this will be okay. So this is six.
So yeah, I don't. It's been a while. Pete was long time ago. Hey, thanks for listening, Pete. Tuning in to the old former workspace there in town from. To be honest, I don't remember exactly where Pete lives now or what he does, but I remember I know of his name and big Viking love. And might be able to recognize him if I saw him on the street. And that's not a knock. That's just I don't have 20 years. No way. That's not actually true. There's no way that's true. That's hashtag fake news is what that is. That's not possible.
Wrong.
I say this for both of us, Peter. Neither of us are that old. It's just not. It's not how it works, right? Oh, jeepers creepers. All right, it's time for...
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
You got anything to lead off with for garbage time
just,
today?
Just to reiterate the point that more and more Charles Barkley and I'm growing more fond of Chuck.
Yeah.
Because you guys are talking about it in four-down territory, the... fact that he railed against the four letter for the Nuggets one was swept the Lakers, but is LeBron James retired? Like the fact that he said what the rest of us here in the state of Colorado have been thinking and put it to words and put it to national media is it warms the heart.
Yes, I like Chuck, and there's like everything, I don't agree with 100% of Charles Barkley takes.
Right.
The ones I agree with, I really agree.
Yeah.
Though, you know what I mean? It's never kind of like, yeah, you know, okay. The ones I agree with, I really absolutely agree with. This is a little bit garbage time and a little bit of a whine at the same time.
Okay.
There needs to be some context under trending on Twitter.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, just one more line. Like, Margot Robbie is trending right now.
Okay.
30,000 tweets. Just put something under there that says, not dead, just trending. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because all the time.
Or a RIP so-and-so. Put under there, like, if you're just going to put RIP Ed, it's like, not Mr. Ed or Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
It's... You know, Ed Begley Jr. Sorry, I'm killing off Ed Begley Jr. We killed off Robert Ball yesterday. Turns out he's not actually dead. So I have a problem doing that. But, you know, just a little bit of context.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, I agree.
You know, it's like
I agree.
Hashtag blockbuster, and you click on it thinking it's going to be about the video stores, and it's about Fast 10. That's kind of a letdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because one of those is an actual blockbuster. The other... is a movie series that just will never end.
Never.
That'll do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Give us a full 3, 7 to 10. We'll have some things to talk about, I'm sure, in the garage of NASCAR Fred. We'll talk about my win from last week. That's tomorrow at 9:40, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Jim will be back almost for all 3 hours tomorrow, I believe. It's a Jim Davis Show, a B-Team edition for Baked Goods and Jim. I'm Buckeye Boy. Jim Rome is coming up next. Rockies Marlins tonight at 6 on the Team.